It's definitely good to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We all know the reason why we're here. The reason why we're here is to glorify God. We're also here to encourage one another. The Bible clearly teaches us that we are to provoke one another unto love and good works. And in doing that, we do not fail to assemble ourselves one with another. What a good God that we serve, that he allows us to come and to worship him, to honor him, to glorify him. And friends, that's what life is all about. It's about denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following him. And when we do that, God is well pleased with us. If you will, I want us to turn to the book of Malachi, and I want us to notice some things concerning the beautiful results when the faithful interact. The more I was thinking about this, our main text is going to be coming from Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through the end of the chapter. There you'll find these words, very powerful passages of Scripture. I believe that song we just sung really fed into what we're going to be talking about on this morning. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditated on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. There's so many things going on in the world in which we live in today, and we could look at all of the negative things that we see in the world. As a matter of fact, I know none of us are oblivious to what is going on in our nation, but none of us are oblivious to the things that's going on in the church as well. So we can't always be focusing on the negative things, even though they're there, but we also need to focus on the positive things. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll focus more on the negative than the positive. We have to keep in mind that as the people of God, we are striving to be balanced in our lives, to realize that we are a people who are real, who look at the realization of things, but we understand that there are some things that are going on around us that may not be correct. However, as the people of God, we want to make sure that as the world around us is in spiritual decay, the church is not. We want to make sure that we are looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We keep our eyes on Jesus. As the congregation here and those in the local area, we want to make sure that we are being an influence in the city or the area, the neighborhood that we're in. Friends, when we think about these things, we think about the church as a whole and how she ought to be a good influence where she is, even amongst one another. During the times of the book of Malachi, the minor prophets, you see that the people of God had come out of exile, if you will, in three stages. We know that the time in which Nehemiah went to go and restore the wall of Jerusalem, remember, they had become a reproach to the people. We see that during the time of Nehemiah, he went back there and he wanted to help the people to establish some type of boundaries so they can have that protection. So they would not be an embarrassment, if you will. But during the same time, we find Malachi. And Malachi, being a prophet of God, a messenger, if you will, if you notice in chapter 1 and verse number 1, we see there that the Bible teaches us that the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Malachi, being a messenger of God, his name literally means my messenger. What a great man. What a great identity. If we're going to be identified with anything, shouldn't we be identified as being the messenger of God? But we see this particular word, messenger, and you'll look at it, and one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to always do what God desires, and that is to get the people of God to look into the Word of God themselves. To make sure that you study behind the preacher, the teacher, or whoever is before you. But here we see that during this particular time, that the people of God, about 100 years out from exile, and they went back to rebuild the temple, had the temple built, but then they found themselves getting away from worshiping God, worshiping Him properly. They started to get involved in adultery and idolatry and the oppression of the poor. This was going on within Israel. All of these negative things were going on in Israel. They were not glorifying God. They were offering polluted sacrifices. Notice verse 7 and 8 of Malachi chapter 1. They were offering polluted sacrifices to God. As a matter of fact, God would get to a point where he'll say, go offer that to the governor. During this particular time, you see the Persian rule. And we see that God is telling them, hey, you know what? You're going to offer that to me. Go offer it to the governor. See if he'll take it. No, he's not going to take it. He's not going to take those polluted sacrifices. They got to a point, Israel, that they were even stealing sacrifices and bringing them to God. God said, are you serious? You're going to bring that to me? You're going to steal something? And here, I'm a holy God. You're going to bring something profane before me? God said, that's not going to happen. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 17, God's messengers, the priest. They should have had the word of God on their lips. If anything, the priests should have been knowing the Word of God because they were responsible for teaching the people. They were responsible for making sure that they studied the law, that they studied the Torah, that they studied the Pentateuch, the five books of the law. They were responsible for that so they could teach the people. You know what they were doing? They were not teaching the people. People began to go astray. Verse number 11, they began marrying foreign wives. This is why Ezra had to say what he needed to say. Put away the foreign wives, Ezra chapter 10. So many things that were going on with the people of God. Verses 14 and 15 of chapter 2, we see that they forgot the reason behind marriage. You know why God wants marriage? Because God wants godly offspring. Oh, I wish I had time to preach that. I got time this morning. But marriage is for godly offspring. See, God wants marriage to take place because he knows that if it's done the way that he desires, according to his command, according to his mandates, according to his standard, he knows if it's done that way, then he knows that the offspring, the children, is going to come up. And no wonder Paul said, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Powerful. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, God will send a messenger. This would come in the form of John the Immerser, John the Baptist. He was going to be that voice that was crying in the wilderness, if you will. He was going to be that one that was going to be paving the way for Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Messiah. He was going to be paving the way for him. Here we see that Malachi prophesies of the messenger in verse 5. But notice verse number 10. Because God was now accusing them, and let me say this, if God brings an accusation, he has enough evidence to make it stick. In chapter 10, they began robbing God. Will a man rob God? He said, yeah, he sure will. And then notice what he says in verse number 10. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven, notice, the same language we see here in this particular verse is the same language we see in Genesis 7 and verse number 11, where we find God as he is opening up the windows of heaven to flood the earth. Every time that God opens up the windows of heaven, it's to bless man. Hold on, I thought everyone drowned. You know what? God did bless man. He blessed Noah and those who were on the ark. He cleared away sin. So Noah and his family can come off of the ark and live a life according to the standard that he designed in the beginning. And here God is saying, don't rob me. Give to me. Give me your hearts. Give me your desires. Give me everything about you and I will open up the windows of heaven. You will not have room enough to receive. Divine commentary on that is Luke chapter 6, verse 36 and following. You know, it's amazing that When we do God's will, God is willing to open up the windows of heaven for us. But notice, you see something powerful. In verses 16 through 18. Because we see beautiful results right here. And this is really where I wanted to get to, because, friends, when you look at all of the negative things that we just covered, very briefly, we look at what God had to view, what God had to look at. But just like the Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God always sees the good. Amen? He always sees the good. There are always those, Romans chapter 11, there's always a remnant, there's always those who are doing God's will. And here we see something very powerful that I want us to really take notice of. And I'm hoping that all of us can get our minds involved as it relates to, I want to be part of these people right here, that even in the midst of all of the negativity, all of the bad, all of the corruption, all of the evil that is in the world around us, that is among Israel, among the church today, we can still do that which is right. And God sees it. That our names can be written in the book of life, Revelation 22. That we'd be able to see the face of God, Revelation 22. That we'll be able to walk the street of gold, Revelation 22. Don't you want that? So we see something here in this text that's powerful. Notice, number one, we see the word feared. Let's do a word study real quick. We see the word feared. The word literally means reverent. Reverence. Or showing honor. Then those who reverenced God, showed honor to the Lord. Notice, spoke to one another. Oh, the idea of fellowship is there. The idea of having a relationship with God, praying to God, talking with God as relates to our relationship with Him, going to His Word, and then what's happening? We're talking to one another. That's what they're doing. They're talking to one another. But who are they talking about? They're not talking about each other. They're talking about the Lord. They're talking about the goodness and the righteousness of God and what God did for them. But notice what he says. And the Lord listened. I was thinking about this. Those things that gets God's attention. Look at the text, y'all. Look what got God's attention. Them talking to one another about Him. That's when we come together in devotionals, and after the devotional, we're talking with one another, praying with one another, confessing fault to one another, really getting involved in one another's lives so we can be better people. Wow, you see this text, friends. The faithful talk about God. The faithful have the words of God on their lips. The faithful love talking and dealing in righteousness. Notice what he goes on to say. And heard them. Not only will God listen, but God will hear. Literally, attentively hear them. But if God is going to listen, if God is going to hear, friends, there is a reason that he's going to do it. Notice the next part of that verse. So a book of remembrance was, oh wow. A book of remembrance was written before him. So every time we come together, whether it is two brothers talking, two sisters talking, we're coming together in a devotional, or we're just moving furniture, or talking amidst a car, here we're talking about the Lord and encouraging one another, crying with one another, helping one another, and God says, I'm hearing you. You know, sometimes when our spouse won't listen to us, at least God will. But when no one else will hear you, God will. God loves when His people are talking about Him. He loves it. It doesn't make God selfish in no way at all. If anything, it's showing that we're glorifying God. We're honoring Him. No wonder Jesus said, If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. No wonder Jesus said, be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, the city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Men may see your good works and glorify. Friends, it's so powerful that there's some results from coming from fellowshipping. Talking to God about him. Talking to each other rather about God. But notice what he goes on to say. It gets better and better. For those who feared God and meditated on his name. I'm reminded of Psalm 56 and how the psalmist there was going through much pain and agony. And he was talking to God about the tears that were falling on his table. And he said, aren't they not written in your book? God even knows the hurt that's going on in our hearts. No, don't take that baby out. Somebody's saying amen up in here. It's good to hear that baby talking up in here. Friends, think about this, that God really loves when we're talking to each other about him. No other reason for us to come together, to meditate, to care, to knock doors with each other, to eat with one another, to love one another, to look out for one another, to help each other, listen to this, come out of sin. And one thing I do know, Christians every now and then involve themselves in sin. Oh, but praise be to God, if the church is what she is supposed to be, then what they're going to do, they're going to reach out to that brother or reach out to that sister. They're not going to condemn that brother, condemn that sister, but they're going to reach out and help them up. You know what? We shouldn't be looking down at a person unless we're looking down to lift them up. Amen. See, these individuals during the days of Malachi, with all the corruption that was around them, there was still that few, still that remnant that was talking about the Lord. They didn't get caught up in all of the corruption and the negativity and get themselves involved in it. If anything, they say, you know what, we can't get involved in that. We need to be talking about righteousness and holiness. Notice what he goes on to say. Oh, verse 17. They, who are the they? Those who meditated, those who feared the Lord, those who were booked, named in the book of remembrance, those who were heard and listened to by God, they shall be mine, he says. And on that day I will make them my jewels. Literally in the Hebrew, my special jewels. 1 Peter 2:9, aren't we special to them? Friends, you will only treat a person like you see them. You will only treat God like you see him. It's no wonder why people hate God, because that's how they see God. But if we see God in the light in which he has given to us in his word, then we will treat him in such a manner. Then we will encourage one another, help one another, study with one another, and when we do that, then we become strengthened, encouraged, helped to help someone else. Friends, I don't know about you, but when I think about the background of this particular text, and I keep going backwards and forwards because I need you to look at the background of the text 400 and something years before Christ, and here this is going to be the last time in which God is going to be speaking to them through a prophet. The next time he speaks is going to be through John the Immerser. And you still had individuals that were faithful to God. You know what? Shouldn't we be those faithful ones today? If no one else talks about God, we should. Why? Because God says, I will make them my jewels. But notice some more results to talking to each other about God. He says, I will spare them. Friends, I need us to just take a step back and think about this. To be spared from eternal judgment. To be spared from being lost, hell, is a reward all by itself. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Starting at verse number 6, we see something very powerful. That it's a righteous thing for God to repay those who trouble them. And then notice verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, notice, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read the next verse, Pope Joy. What does it say? Now notice what he says. Who shall be punished? Friends, people think that this is hell on earth. They haven't seen hell yet. If we think that this is hell on earth because our nation is going through some troubles, the church is going through some trials and tribulations, we understand that, friends. We haven't seen nothing yet. Who shall be what? Punished. Read. With everlasting destruction. From where? That's enough right there. That's enough. I mean, we could read from the glory of his power, but from the presence of the Lord. The very fact that we're in Christ, we're in the church, we're in this place where God wants us to be. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Christ is in the church. Friends, this is enough. If God did nothing else for us, he has done enough. If God did nothing else for us as it relates to spiritual blessings, he's done enough. Why? Because he gave us his son. He gave us salvation. He gave us life. Friends, we have life. Shouldn't we be talking to each other about the life that we have in Christ? Oh, there's nothing wrong with talking about the most sorry Cowboys. The most sorry Oklahoma Sooners. There's nothing wrong with talking about the most sorry teams. But to talk about Jesus and to talk about life and to talk about eternity. Oh, friends, ain't nothing else to talk about. I mean, I could talk about the best quarterback, RG3, but I don't want to talk about him. Y'all smile. You know, sometimes we talk about everything but what we probably need to talk about. Because really, when we talk about the Lord listens. Lord writes, if you will. And notice what he says. As a man spares his own son who serves him, then, notice this. This is another result. Then, that's a time word. These things are going to happen when, then, you shall again discern between righteous and the wicked. The one who serves God and the one who does not serve God. Friends, God desires for us to tell the difference. And if anything, we ought to be able to tell the difference between right and wrong. Between those who are serving God and those who are not serving God. God's word teaches us how to do that. My encouragement for us just today is that we do our level best to read and study God's word as much as we can. To fill our hearts with the righteousness of God. To be those who thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So when we get together, you know what we're going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about God. Oh, there's nothing wrong with talking about those other things like we said before, but most of all, we're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about righteousness. And if someone is struggling in sin, we're going to be talking about how can I help you out of that? And then put ourselves in a position to help them out and stay. Because one thing I know for a fact, even God doesn't get everything he wants. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Problem is, all men won't be saved. Now, that's God's desire. But shouldn't that be ours, too? So the next time a brother here or sister here is struggling in sin, don't put your thumb on them. What can I do to help you come out so I can help you go up? Amen? Because all of those who go up have to first get in. Don't y'all miss that point. See, the only way you can go up, you got to get in Christ. And all of those who get in, if they stay faithful, God is going to save them. God is faithful and just to forgive. And every now and then, we find ourselves on the end of sin instead of the end of righteousness. Friends, let me say this. In Proverbs 24, verse 16, a righteous man falleth 7 times and he gets up. Maybe you've fallen. Maybe as a child of God, you don't really have a desire to talk about God. Well, won't you hang around those who talk about God? Maybe we can whet your palate some. kind of stir you back up and light that fire. But first, before we can light the fire, brother, we got to put some dry wood in there, because wet wood don't burn. So we got to get some dry wood. When that happens, friends, then we find ourselves getting a little bit more faithful every single day. Every day. And one thing we have to love about Jesus, he is not a God of the first chance, second chance. How about thousand? How about as much as we go to him, God is faithful and just to forgive us. I got one point. All that was introductory material. Let's encourage each other to be faithful. Let's talk about the word. Let's do our level best to try to interact with one another. It starts at home, husband and wife, children. Then it branches out to friends and family, brethren, and those who are in the world. That order. Let's talk about God with each other. So when we invite people to our homes or invite people to Bible class or to worship, they say, you know, these people are always talking about the word. Yeah, that's what we do. Because to talk about self will only last so long. But you can talk about God throughout eternity for a long time. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We just want to encourage you to think about what God says and to encourage each other to be faithful, to be righteous, to be holy. Yet when we make mistakes, help one another up. The gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the very appearance of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:1-8. The most powerful lesson, the most powerful message ever heard by man, Romans 1:16. We know for a fact that if we go out and we preach the gospel, men and women's lives will be changed. And when that happens, if you just believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, God will save you. Only thing you have to do after that is be faithful even to the point of death. God will give you the crown of life. But maybe you're a child of God and, well, you've been thinking about everything but spiritual things. Well, let's stop that. Let's begin doing what's right. Let's begin talking and meditating and having a desire to do spiritual things. And then, like what we'll talk about tonight, we'll have that hope of eternal life as we stand and as we sing, Savior's invitation.